Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is K4EI activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for all licensed hams, FARA members or not, for a general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as operating procedures, communication modes, technical activities, radios, antennas, computer software, and similar information related to the radio art. This is K4EI. My name is Jeff, Juliet Echo, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, and I'll be your net control this evening. A few quick announcements. We've got our FARA monthly meeting tomorrow night at 7:15 p.m. at the PATH Foundation building, or via WebEx if you can't make it in person. And hopefully we'll see a lot of folks there. We've got a couple of good presentations to look forward to. There's also a VE test session on the 16th, so that's September 16th, at 9:30 a.m. at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, the Porter Branch, and that's at 2001 Parkway Boulevard, Stafford, Virginia. And finally, we've got our FARA monthly breakfast coming up in a couple of weeks on Saturday, September 30th. At 8 a.m. and in the bistro in the Fauquier Hospital cafeteria. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to share? If so, please call K4EI now. Okay, nothing heard. So let's go ahead and get around to check-ins. I'm going to ask when you announce your call, please give your call with a measured, even cadence, if you would. I'm writing these down by hand, and I don't write as fast as a lot of folks do. So let's take EchoLink first, EchoLink only. If there are any folks on EchoLink would like to check in, please call K4EI now. Nothing heard. All right, well, let's take mobile stations. Mobile stations, who would like to check in? Please call K4EI now. Okay, nothing heard on the mobile front either, so general check-ins. Let's go ahead and get rolling with that. Please call K4EI now.
This is K1HTV.
W4RKU.
This is K3FR, Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot Romeo.
This is K4SFT, in and out.
Here is Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor. No comment.
All right, let's hold it there for a second. I've got K1HTV, W4RKU, K3FR, K4SFT, K4OZH, and WB7RAV, no comment. And K4SFT, I've got you as no comment as well. Any other check-ins, please call now.
N7IVV.
Okay, Brad, N7IVV, got you down as well. That's all we've got right now, so we'll go ahead and get started. First, I wanted to speak to a little news item I came across. The USA Radio Orienteering Team. I've never heard of radio orienteering. It sounds like an interesting activity. But the USA Radio Orienteering Team brings home silver and bronze medals. It says that the 21st International Amateur Radio Union World Amateur Radio Direction Finding, ARDF, Championship in Liberec, Czech Republic, held August 27th through September 2nd, 2023. USA competitors won a silver medal for an individual competition, as well as two bronze team medals. ARDF, also known as radio orienteering, is a multi-skill sport that involves running and navigation, using only a map and compass. Competitors use a 2-meter or 80-meter radio receiver to locate multiple transmitters hidden in a forest. The sport directly applies to important activities such as search and rescue, wildlife tracking, airborne and seaborne navigation, and communications. The competition at the championship in Liberec involved mountainous terrain, intricate navigation challenges, periods of rain, and elite racing. The USA fielded its largest team ever, including 21 athletes, with 7 competing in a world championship for the first time. The IARU and Czech Republic Radio Club hosted the event in the mountainous region of North Bohemia, with 28 countries and nearly 400 racers attending. Ruth Bromer, WB4QZG, won a silver medal in the W65 category during the 3.5 megahertz Fox O-Ring event that combines orienteering and fox hunting. Nadia Schauerlau, KO4ADV, and Natalia Leone earned a bronze team medal in the W55 category, 144 megahertz classic competition. Several USA athletes also finished within the top 10 results in nearly all the other classes, including 2 fourth-place finishes by Schauerlau. The ARRL's ARDF committee chair, Charles Schauerlau, NZ0I, who also raced, echoed the positive take on the USA team, stating they successfully navigated well-designed courses on rugged terrain against a field of skilled and experienced competitors. The Czech Republic is an ideal place to hold the World Championships. They have great maps, excellent venues, and they know how to put on a world-class event, he said. The USA Radio Orienteering Team Championship will be held in Michigan on October 7th through 13th, 2024, so a bit over a year from now. Team USA will select its team members from that 2025 USA Championship, and that team will travel to Lithuania in 2025 to compete in the 22nd World ARDF Championship. So anyway, that sounded like a really interesting activity. Basically, fox hunting, I guess, combined with running and basic orienteering with map and compass. So a lot of things going on there. As far as the topic this evening, the ARRL September VHF contest ran this past weekend, of course. If you participated in that contest, please consider telling us about your experience. And more broadly, tell us about your views on contesting in general. Do you like the contests? And if so, what is it about them that you enjoy? And if you don't participate in them, is there a particular reason why not? So perhaps consider commenting on those when your turn comes up. And with that, let's start going down the list. Rich, K1HTV, over to you from K4EI.
Hey Jeff, thanks for doing the net tonight. This is K1HTV in Amosville. Enjoy contesting. Not as much as before. I used to be really gung-ho with full effort. As you get older, it's a little bit more difficult to keep the butt in the chair for a long time. So, although I do that for the VAQ sub-party. But contests I used to prefer, I used to operate quite a bit in, like the sweepstakes, I find to be just too... not fun anymore. So when it's not fun, you don't do it. But I do enjoy the VHF contest and the challenges of trying to make as many contacts and as many different grids. I did work on the VHF contest over the weekend. Most of it was FTA. They made some contacts on sideband, but there weren't very many. Didn't hear anybody on CW. But and that's a shame. They wish they changed the rules so you can make contacts in all 3 modes. Voice, CW, and digital. I think that would improve things. But the league contest committee just does not want to budge on that. So as a result, you're seeing the analog modes suffer the activity in those modes. Made over 250 contacts, about 26,000 points. Did operate 6 meters, 2 meters, a couple FM contacts on 223 FM, and on a 70-centimeter FT8. Thanks to the Rovers, especially Gil, and a number of KQ4GEX, a new rover, a couple others popped up, so good to see them on the vans. Did a little operating tonight in the W6 single letter Route 66 event. It runs until Sunday at 23:59, which is 8 p.m. our time, local time on Sunday. So if you're looking for work in the Route 66 crew, they're on sideband CW and FT8. They've worked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them so far in the past hour on FT8. So look for the Route 66 guys. As far as the, a little bit more on the contest, been contesting for years. I do like to work, I'm more of a DXer than a contester, so you see me chasing DX rather than doing a lot of contesting, but I do submit my DX scores to the Potomac Valley Radio Club, which is a contesting group of which a number of the FARA members are also a member. That's it for now. Back to Net Control. This is K1HTV.
Well, thank you for that, Rich. And I just wanted to say that the comment over butt in chair, you were the first one I ever heard that from. I'm sure it was in relation to the Virginia CUSO party some years back, but that's always been one of the keys. And so, yeah, it's great to hear that kind of wisdom. And it sounds like you did really well this weekend. So W4RKU, Kevin, over to you from K4EI.
W4EI, W4RKU, and then that good evening, Jeff. The only contest I really got hot and heavy on is the Virginia CUSO party. I do like the Worldwide CW contest as well. I mostly, I'll play with the other ones just because they're fun. Given my limited, resource, I had, for VHF, I've never been big on VHF, and I don't have much invested in VHF, so I don't usually get into that. But I like VHF ones more. But most of the time, I like to have fun, because I'll never get first place. I do not like St. Louis sideband contest because it just gets on my nerves because everybody is overpowering me. So, and the behavior kind of turns me off too. But I do like the digital CW contest more, except for VATP. Then all bets are off. So. I'll turn back to you, Jeff, W4EI, W4RKU, back to that.
Well, thanks there, Kevin, W4RKU from K4EI, and I'm with you 100% on the Virginia CUSO party. It's my favorite contest, and I say contesting in air quotes, because it's a bit more than that, I think, for a lot of us. So, but also, Kevin, you do a lot of the CW ops things as well. The weekly little mini contests that they have. So, I know you participate in those. Anyway, K3FR, Ron, over to you from K4EI.
K4EI, K3FR. Good evening, Jeff, and thank you for checking the net tonight. And yeah, good little topic. I did participate this weekend, however, I was a bit handicapped with my habits of blow-up radios. I took out the 7300 during the course of the contest, so fortunately it didn't completely die until right near the end, so it didn't hurt me that much. I did the 2-meter, I should say the 3-band single operator class, 100 watts on 6 meters, 2 meters, and 50 watts on 70 centimeters. And I did have a good time. Most all of it was FT8. Did a couple of some analog contacts. Worked Gil on SSB here on 6 meters, and worked him on FM on both 2 meters and 440. So that being said, I think the highlight of my weekend really was 70 centimeters. I worked on 70 FT8, 9 different contacts, 4 different grids. One of those grids was Fox November 32, which is up there right near Albany, and it covers southern New Hampshire, southern Vermont, western Massachusetts, and northern edge of Connecticut, as well as a slot in eastern New York. And I was surprised to make that contact on 70 centimeters. It just happened that I was there, and I had it. My technique this contest was really just to set one of the radios CQing all by itself, and had it set up with WSJTX improved to do weight in pounds, and yeah, that worked out okay. Plus, it would also continue on with CQs after a contact if I had been the one who was calling CQ. In other words, the Fox station. And then I just go hunting grids on the other band. So my total then, 130 contacts, these are raw, 140 raw points, 37 grids, not an awful lot, but still fun. And because I didn't put in a full 20 or full contest period, I did go to sleep early on Saturday night, and I woke up a little bit late. I went to church and had fun, so I decided to go to the church picnic afterwards, and that took me till about 2 o'clock. Anyway, my total score this time around is 5,180 for a raw count. Back to you, Jeff. K4EI, K3FR.
Well, thanks for that, Ron. Sounds like you had a lot of fun. Other than the 7300 issues, I hadn't heard that you'd had some problems with that. So, and hopefully it's not something too disastrous. But yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of fun, and congratulations on those FDA contacts all the way up north that way. It's one of the interesting things with VHF and UHF is, it's just the propagation can be almost magical sometimes. So it sounds like you experienced some of that. So it's real good. Let's see, K4SFT, Scott is no comment. Thanks for checking in, Scott. And with that, it goes up to KM4OZH. Gil, I know you participated in the contest last weekend, so tell us how it was.
K4EI, this is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Jeff, and everybody on the net. Well, let's see. Yes, I did. I did participate. I put in my full effort for whatever it was worth, and I had a good time. And you know, some new equipment, automatic band antenna switching, which was the first chance to use that, and I was quite pleased with that. For frequent band hopping, that saved manually have to turn in switches and remember to turn the right switch. So it was all good. When I was in, I did run up to Pennsylvania, and I did notice that I was working some stations in Pennsylvania and the edge of New York, and it took on FT8 because there was nothing there on phone. So I was working FTA, and I would be getting a good signal, and I just turned my beam until I maximized that, and I would hit them and hit them and hit them, and it, every single time it's like it took forever for them to finally respond. I think they all had their beams pointed south and not west, which is where my location to them, relative to them, was. And I'm kind of thinking that's what that issue was. So that was time-consuming, and time is everything. So, but anyway, I made my complete 8-grid run and worked Kevin on the dreaded FT8 there, and And of course, Rich was always there, and so that was all good. So I came up with a 181 QSOs and a raw score of 11,319, which is my highest score to date. So I always consider the VHF contest to be practice for Virginia QSO Party. That's all I got for this evening. This is KM4OZH. Back to net.
Well, very good, Gil. Sounds like you had a lot of fun as well, and sounds like your antenna switcher was working well, and sounds like you got FT8 dialed in there. So, and it sounds like FT8 was probably the savior for a lot of folks in this contest. So it's good to see that it's getting the traction that it's getting these days. So great performance there. Let's see, WB7RAV, Randy is no comment. And with that, let's send it over to Brad, N7IVV. Brad, good to hear you this evening from K4EI. Brad, N7IVV, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I pushed the button the wrong way. N7IVV. Good to hear everybody. I just wanted to say hi. Glad you all had a good time with the contest last weekend, and I didn't get a chance to get on. So I'll catch up to you later, N7IVV.
All right, well, very good, Brad. Well, it's always good to hear you, so hope things are well with you, and catch you a little bit down the road. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the original list. Let's see if there are any other check-ins or rechecks. If there are, please call K4EI now.
HTV recheck. KV4TWB.
K1RA, no comment.
K4SFT, with a comment.
K3FR with a recheck.
Kilo November 4 Golf November bike, no comment.
Okay, I've got Rich K1HTV with a recheck. The station right after Rich, I've got a KV4. What was the rest of your call, please?
Kilo Zulu 4 Tango Whiskey Bravo.
Okay, KV4TWV, got that. K1RA, Andy, no comment. Got K4SFT, K3FR. And KN4, the last station, KN4G, and I didn't get the rest of your call, no comment, but I'd like it for the log if I could. So can you come back, please?
Roger, this is Kilo November 4, Golf November, Mike, Randy, and Haymarket, no comment.
Very good, Randy. Well, thanks for that, and thanks for checking in this evening. Let's see. Rich, K1HTV, what's your comment?
A couple of things. De-expedition, well, it's not a de-expedition, but a new de-expedition has popped up in the past couple of weeks. The VP6 Mike Whiskey has been active on 12-meter FT8. Ladies named Meralda, Warren, one of the relatives, descendants of Dr. Christian on Pitcairn Island. You know, the story of the bounty. and the mutiny on the bounty. She's active on 12. She has eye problems, and after about an hour or so, she'll quit. So if after we if you can't work her after an hour, she goes away. That's probably why. She's had some eye surgery, and she's recovering from that. Just sent her an email. There's a way. She said she was complaining about the scrolling. When you get a very large screen of the codes on FT8, it scrolls past. You click on one call, you end up with another call selected. So. There is a fix for that, which I sent to her. Anyway, that was number one. Then propagation has been quite good in the morning. Some long path opening to Asia on 12 and 10. A couple of days ago, it was quite good. Yesterday and today, well, yesterday was okay. Today wasn't quite as good, but still some good propagation on 20 to Asia in the morning, out to the Pacific on 15 and 12 in the evening. So we're starting to see improved conditions as we get closer to the fall. Finally, I'll see you guys at the FARA meeting. I'll be a few minutes late, but I'll be over there to catch a presentation of both K2PI and his presentation on Meshtastic Laura, and also Justin on his trip out to Colorado with Anna. So we'll see you guys Thursday, tomorrow. Back to net control. This is K1HTV.
Well, very good, Rich. Thanks for those updates. And, looking forward to the meeting as well tomorrow and looking forward to seeing you. So Yeah. Let's see. KZ4TWB. Tim, your comments, please.
K4EI, this is KZ4TWB. As far as any comments, I really don't have any since I'm still new to ham radio and have not gotten into any contesting at all. I've read a little bit about it, but I haven't had time to actually follow what's going on. So the first time I probably do it or get along with it, I'll probably have to join somebody during their time when there's a contest going on. For TWB, back to that.
Well, very good, Tim. No worries on being new. A lot of us still are exploring a lot of these things there. And one book I would recommend if you're at all interested in contesting is a book called Contact Sport. It's available on Amazon, and it's about the world radio championships some years ago in the Boston area, and the author spent some time with one team and just described that in detail. I thought it was a really, really good a glimpse into high-level contesting. Let's see, K1RA, Andy, I have no comment. Thanks for checking in, Andy. And K4SFT, Scott, you do have a comment just to go around, so over to you.
K4EI, K4SFT. Yes, I just wanted to comment. This was my first contest this past weekend, and I only made 52 contacts, but that's because my five-element Yagi wasn't fully assembled and the rotator working until midway through the contest. I think the longest contact was Troy, New York, never made it really into Boston, New England, which I was told that's where all the action was going to be. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. I have absolutely no idea on how to get my score from my contact, so I don't know if that's something that's tabulated automatically or you have to go down with a calculator and figure that all out. But anyway, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So that's it. Back to net, K4SFT.
Well, very good, Scott. Glad to hear that you participated and glad to hear that you had a good time. So, continue to work antenna and rotator and radio issues. Oftentimes it's just kind of part and parcel of it. So there's that. Let's see, K3FR, Ron, back over to you.
Hey, very good. I just forgot to note the VHF. I've been a VHF contester now for 63 years. It's coming up on 64 soon. My first contest was the 1960 VHF sweepstakes in January, and I played that as a novice. And I've been working off on and off with the VHF contest. And it's really are my favorite of mine because it takes a lot of knowledge of the bands and what's going to happen on it. And I do also like the VA QSO party. I love the Jersey QSO party, PA QSO party, and Utah QSO parties when I was in those sections, and really enjoyed operating them. Note for Steve here, the contest committee, or I should say the sponsor, will calculate your final score, but depending upon what software you were using, you can get it out, or you can do it by hand. My feeling is the sweet spot of where to be for making contacts in the VHF contests are, you want to aim for Philadelphia, South Jersey, Northern New Jersey, and New York City, and Southern Connecticut. If you can get into those areas, you can run quite a few contacts. And, yeah, I did pick up a little bit of the propagation enhancements. I got in on some of the quick e-skip blips that we had during the afternoons, and also the morning it was a late morning and early evening tropo up into New England and New York, New Jersey. That's why I say it's a good place for it to be. Without a doubt, I enjoy contesting. K4,
EI-K3FR. Well, thanks for that, Ron. K3FR from K4EI. And, yeah, that's pretty impressive that you've been doing contesting that long. So, you know, one of the great things about amateur radio in general, but the FARA community in particular, is that we've got a number of folks with a long resume and a lot of experience, and every one of them has always been willing to share that wisdom, so it's much appreciated. Let's see, KN4GNM, Randy, no comment, thanks for checking in. And again, that brings us to the end of the rechecks. Let's put out one last call for check-ins or rechecks. If there are any, please call K4EI now.
K4EI, this is K2PI.
Kilo Delta 4, Romeo Echo Echo.
Kilo Quebec 4, Golf Bravo Echo. No comment tonight. Just wanted to check in.
Kilo Alpha 4, Romeo Oscar Papa.
Okay, let's hold it there for just a second. K2PI, Harv, we got you in there. KD4REE, I believe that's Sim. I've got you in there. The station after that, KQ something, can you please come back?
Kilo Quebec 4, Golf Bravo Echo. Scott Roundhill, just wanted to check in tonight. No comment. Back to you.
Very good, Scott. KQ4GBE, thanks for checking in tonight. And the last station, Kilo Alpha 4, I didn't get the suffix. Could you come back, please?
Kilo Alpha 4, Romeo Oscar Papa.
Very good. KA4ROP, I've got you. All right, let's go back to K2PI. Harv, great to hear you in this evening. Over to you from K4EI.
Yep, K4EI in the net from K2PI. I've been listening in, unfortunately, battling a computer here. You may know I had a lightning strike nearby. It took out my main Shack computer, and I bought new components. I was rebuilding it. I will tell you that if you've ever had to deal with an NVMe SSD PCIe, you will find that Windows doesn't recognize them until they're formatted. They don't come formatted, and nothing in Windows will see it, including this part. And so I've spent several hours trying just to figure out. I got to get Windows to see it. Seen it in the BIOS. I've got to get it to a point where I can copy over the old drive. And boy, that is so hard. It took the better part of an hour going through various partition managers, and I finally just went back to good old GPartD on Linux. Got in there immediately. Was able to format the drive as NTFS, and now it's seen. And now. There's no easy way to copy anything over from a Windows restore, so I had to invoke something that you may remember called RoboCopy, and I got RoboCopy pushing the files over. When that's done, hopefully all I need to do then is make the disk bootable using part Windows disk part and boot into the new SSD. So that's the sort of crazy stuff. It should be a lot more turnkey than that. Linux is worse, but at least with Linux, you don't have to worry about some of the nuances of booting, which Windows is really very resistant to non-UEFI boot and other things like that. Anyway, looking forward to the meeting, and I've got a presentation prepared, and hopefully it'll be interesting for people. If it's not, I apologize in advance. K4EI, back to net, K2PI.
Well, thanks for that, Harv, K2PI from K4EI, and sorry about your computer was there, but I tell you, you know, considering what could have happened if you didn't have the kind of grounding and bonding that you've got at your station, things could have been a lot worse. So probably a computer problem is a good answer considering what you experienced there. So good on you there for that. And I'm really looking forward. A bunch of us are looking forward to your presentation tomorrow night. And some of us are kind of on the fence. Maybe we might try that. So we'll see. Let's see. KD4REE Sim, over to you from K4EI.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone on the net. Well, I go to the doctor tomorrow, so maybe I'll finally get a diagnosis for my respiratory issue. If not, then he'll just order some more tests for me, and then I have to go back for a third time. But anyway, we're making progress, and hopefully later in the week I can set up my wire antenna inside the house here if I could get the RTO SDR working and maybe pick up some strong nearby signals. Maybe try out to see if the whisper signal gets out of the ZocTac transmitter I bought. Nobody has been able to hear it in the past couple of weeks, just too much aluminum siding indoors. Maybe the longer antenna would be better than what I have right now. That's all I have. Back to your net control from KD4REZ.
Okay, very good, Sim. Well, certainly hope you your visit to the doctor goes well, and he's got some good answers for you. I mean, you know, we talk about all these different things in our lives, but at the end of the day, health is kind of the bottom line. And when that is a challenge, then everything else is a challenge as well. So more than anything else, I wish you the best as far as that getting squared away really, really quickly. Let's see, KQ4GBE, Scott was no comment. And with that, let's turn this over to KA4ROP. Justin, I think you had a POTA thing today, didn't you?
That's right. I had a first successful POTA activation today after a couple bomb attempts over at the Manassas Battlefield Park. Propagation was in my favor today, but that was fun. I'll probably do more of that. Sorry to hear about the guy having the issues with the NVMe drive. Usually for me it's a chipset problem, chipset drivers. But yeah, Windows is a little bit picky about some of those, so that's unfortunate. But yeah, with POTA, so I've been trying to, I've got a vertical antenna, it's about 17.5 feet, and I've had some pretty good success just using a thread adapter to hook that into one of my Trunkwood mounts and using the car as my counterpoise, basically, the ground plane. So I think tomorrow I'm going to try with a half-wave end-set antenna with just a, you know, nice long wire, see how that goes.
All right, very good. Well, Justin, a lot of this hobby is just about continuing to explore and experiment with other different things. And so, wish you the very best with that. And congratulations on the first successful POTA activation this afternoon. So that's kind of an exciting milestone there. Okay, we've got 8:45. This is K4EI, and I'm going to put one last call for check-ins or rechecks. If there are any, please call now.
Watch or so, but pretty surprised I'm getting this good signal from out here. So back to that.
And Justin, I think I jumped on the end of your transmission now. I thought you had finished there. You wanna wrap up what you were saying right at the end?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just saying how I'm surprised that the signal I've got over here. I'm out over in Mount Vernon using an amp. I'm probably putting out about 120 watts or so, if I have to guess. But getting a nice clean signal from the repeater out there in Warrenton. So back to that.
Yeah, no doubt. You're hitting the machine really, really well, and you got a real clean signal, good audio. So yeah, you're doing a fine job there, and hopefully you'll check into the net again sometime. All right, one last check for check-ins or rechecks. If there are any, call now.
This is Kilo Delta 4, Kilo Whiskey Zulu.
Is that Kilo Delta 4, Kilo Delta Zulu?
That's Kilo Delta 4, Kilo Whiskey Zulu. Name here is Nathan, November Alpha Tango Hotel Alpha November.
Very good, Nathan. Your comments for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no comments. I'm in traffic jam right now on 81 going to Martinsburg, so I've got to keep my eye on the road.
Well, safe travels tonight, Nathan, and thanks for checking in, and glad to hear you. All right, this is K4EI for the Farinet. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on FARA, please see our website at w4va.org or send an email to faranet@w4va.org. This is K4EI closing the Faranet and returning the repeater to normal use. Thank you and good evening, and look forward to seeing a bunch of you tomorrow night. 73.
K1RA, K1RA, K1HTV.
Hey, Dad, go ahead.
I found a problem why the red Pitayas were not feeding the network with spots. I think I mentioned to you before I had the MFJ 1708-SDR. That's the SDR protector, so the antenna the main antenna is fed through a relay to the SDR, and it's triggered by, I've got a push-to-talk input on it, so when I key the push-to-talk, it triggers the unit to do its switching. There's also some automatic switching, but apparently the RCA connector that I had plugged in was intermittent. It happened before, happened a couple times before, where it shorted and it was keying all the time. So it was protecting all the time. In other words, the SDR wasn't getting any signal at all. The SDR, as they should say. So put a new RCA connector on it, and it's good to go now. It should be should not cause that problem again.
Very interesting. I picked up one of those recently to play with on my project here. Was it the RCA connector mounted to the printed circuit board, or was it the RCA at the end of the cable?
The male RCA at the end of the cable. I used one that was in the junk box, and it was poorly soldered, twisted, and it had been twisted a couple times, and it's just the center conductor and the shield that's been connected, and that key to push the talk all the time. So that's always it was a cheap cable to start with. I just put a good connector on it. I guess I probably should swap out the whole cable, but the rest of the other end is good. So I'm back in decoding everything from 2,200 meters up through to 6 meters, and I also noticed that the 2,200 meter, the 600 meter decodes, which I believe are all whisper decodes, are down from what they were, and I've got to figure out what may have happened there. Beverages seem to be working, although I have not walked the beverages in the woods. With all the winds that we've had in the past couple of months, very possible that there's a tree or a branch taking the beverages to the ground or maybe breaking them. But I do seem to be hearing on all of them, so one of these days, now that it's getting cooler, I'll take a walk at each of the beverages, one per day, and just see how they're doing. So, that's the story on this end. K1RA, K1HTV.
Okay, very good. Yeah, just looking at PSK Reporter now, I see both my two SDRs and yours are all in the low 600 spots across all the bands. And WZ7I is in first place, KM3T in second. My two SDRs are third and fourth, and you're in fifth. So, for the last 24 hours spotting. PSK Reporter. Country-wise, you're top in USA, all by WZ7I, and then I follow you in third, and Dave KM3T, and after that. So, well, glad you got it working. Hopefully you can get the beverages checked out. And, I've made a couple of whisper spots on 600 meters. I've also set up mine to do FST4W, which is a little bit longer transmission decode. And I think I've gotten one or two stations on that mode. But I'm not looking at 2,200 meters. Those folks are, those decodes have been from guys on 630 meters. But I'm sure as the winter season picks up, we'll get more people making noise on that band. So. Okay, well, I'm just wrapping up here in the shack, turning things down. I'm going to go inside and call it a night. I'll catch you on the radio here tomorrow.
Now, the FST4W, I assume that decoder is native to the JT8.exe, or JT4, is it? Whatever it is. Is that native to that? And if that's the case, is that supported in... The SDR, the Sharp SDR, over.
I believe Alan, the writer of Spark SDR, has put that decoder in. It may only be in the experimental development version. I'm not sure if it's in the release 2033. So I think the stable release. I do not run it on Spark SDR. My second SDR runs something called DigiSkimmer, and written by a fellow over in China that connects directly to the Kiwi SDRs and then does decoding with that with the command line decoders. So I'm doing that decoding on that, but I'm pretty sure that Spark SDR does have an FST4W decoder. And there are
think there are like three or four different settings for that, anywhere down from 2 minutes on the low end up to 30 minutes for a decode on the high end.
That won't be bad if I don't do any operating between like 10 p.m. and dawn, and because you know I use one transmission and open up the receive side and it missed the whole transmission, the 30-minute one. Okay, and everything else, very good. Oh, we talked about moving the rabbit ear TV decoder over to the laptop, which is running Unix. Or Linux, as you say, or Ubuntu Linux. Is there a Linux version which I could use with rabbit ears, or does it have to run on Windows?
Now, there is a Linux version. I know, I'm pretty sure, Travis, WAPT, is running his on a Raspberry Pi. But yeah, there is a Linux version. Now, I don't recall if... KB8U distributes a binary, or if he distributes source code and then you have to compile it under x86 Linux or Raspberry Pi Linux. I'll look in on my software NAS drive to see if I have. I'm pretty sure I have a copy of whatever he gave me back in the early days, because he basically said, "Hey, here's both. Use whichever one you want." So let me look that up. And then I'll get you some information. But yeah, it should be easy to move a scanner tuner from Windows to Linux.
That'll free the main computer up a little bit. Although it's not that not that much of a hog as far as CPU time, is it? I don't think it is anyway. Anyway, thanks. I'll get them both over to the laptop. The laptop is should have enough headroom on the CPU time and memory. Should not be a problem. All right, take care. Enjoy the evening. Get your project going. Hopefully everything goes well. And you're up to your demo up. And it looks like you're not going to get rain. I don't think so anyway. So you may not have to bring your rain gear up there. K1RA, K1HTV.
Yeah, I probably don't have to bring my rain gear, but I got to bring my tick gear. The Army guys said that up there on the range that bring your permethrin. I'm pretty sure you gave me a bottle of it a while back, so... I need to put some in a spray bottle and take it with me and spray my clothes down when I get up there. But, yeah, I think it's supposed to be cooler next week, which will be nice. We'll be baking in the sun and hopefully no rain. But, yeah, did some final integration and testing and boxing stuff up tonight. And things are coming together for travel here soon. Okay, have a good night, and I'll touch base with you on email about the TV tuner software. 73 for now, K1RA.
Regarding the permission, I'm not sure what percentage I gave you. If it was mixed down to like a half a percent, which you can use for spraying clothing, or if it was a little bit heavier, you may have to cut it with water to get it down to the half percent. What you might want to do, with all the clothing that you're going to be using, out in the field, ahead of time, spray it thoroughly, and let it all dry out, and then all you have to do is bag it, and then when you want to use it, just take it out of the bag, and it'll be good. You don't have to do it at the last minute. It'll be good. It'll go through a couple washings, and still be very effective. Since I've used that, I've not had any tick issues to speak of. So, but I usually spray all the white socks that I use, heavier socks. Spray them ahead of time, and sometime a couple pair of jeans, and that then you'll be all set. You don't have to worry about it the last minute. You can bring it along for touch-up, but that'll keep the ticks away. Nothing worse than get ticks. All right, hope the demo goes well. K1RA, K1HTV, 73, good night.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I'll take a close look at the bottle you gave me. I'm sure you wrote something on it, what it is. I got to dig it out. Thanks for the suggestions, and catch you on the radio here over the next day or two. K1RA, clear.
See you later. Also, I just found out today and tomorrow night are going to be the peak of the migration of birds on the East Coast. Somehow I looked at a water about fowl mites, and the bird migration. dusk to 3 hours after dusk, or no, from sunset to 3 hours after sunset, north to south, and the peak day for the middle part of the country was a couple of days ago, and it's a little bit to the west of us at the peak for today, and it'll be, I think tomorrow will be the peak day for birds, so if you're out at night and you hear all kinds of flapping going on, maybe migrating birds flying overhead. See you later, K1RA. K1RA, K1HTV, clear, good night.
I'll have to try some bird scatter on the microwave frequencies. Okay, good night, K1RA, clear.
K1HTV, W3IP.
Mr. VHF, W3IP, K1HTV, congrats on the fine business score from up there on the mountain.
Thanks. Been happier if more of it had been analog, but that's a discussion for another day. And Lord knows there's enough of it flying around on many reflectors this week.
I wish the contest committee would just listen to the members. It just ruined the analog operations. The CW and sideband. They've got to count three modes. One, you can work a station on three modes, and then you'll see the activity pick up again. It's not a fun contest just running FT8. It was fun when you had the analog modes by themselves, and of course when FT8 came along, supplementing it, but now it's pretty much all digital. So, and anyway, what did you catch on the TEP? I caught, I think you saw my note, the TVRC reflector. I think 8 PYs and CX, and they kept going. It was just from a quarter of 8 to about 8 to a quarter of 9. They were coming through. Did you catch that one? Yeah, I think you caught it a little bit earlier at TEP, didn't you?
No, I actually caught the late end of it. We were, Sunday was our anniversary, so we went out for an anniversary dinner. And didn't get back till about 8:30, so I just caught, I think, the last couple of them, which happened to be a couple of guys that already worked, so which was okay. Worked a week ago or 2 weeks ago, but that was an okay thing. So and fun, but anyway, on a better note even. I finally today, after 59 days, but who's counting, I got QSL for FFMA number 485 came through today, and it also coincidentally happened to be VUCC for 6 meters number 1,000.